Please, I hope you have not have done explain. Listen, when a society wants to run into trouble, they start redefining truth. I was watching, like I was telling you, Pierce Brosnan was interviewing Joel Osteen. And the question was simple. What do you think of homosexuality? Now, they said that, you know, the major argument is that homosexuals are born homosexuals. Therefore, why do you judge them for being homosexuals? That's the major argument. After all, the man was born a homosexual. Why do you judge him for being a homosexual? Now, are you judging a homosexual? No, I don't have any business judging a homosexual. You're asking me about homosexuality. Is that not so? And I read the scriptures, and God says it's an abomination. That's all. He said, but he was born like that. Let me ask you a question. Are there not people that are born blind? Does it now make the driver of my car? If I don't agree to employ a man born blind, am I discriminating now? Because after all, I should recognize that he was born blind. Why did Jesus go to heal a man that was born blind? Because blindness is out of order. Whether you were born like that or not is a secondary matter. Listen, because of my normal profession, no secular profession, like we say, I know a lot about diseases. And I know that a huge chunk of patients that come to hospital, they were born with those disorders. So why didn't we say, why are you coming to this hospital? Go back home. After all, you were born like this. Do you get the point I'm making? I mean, a man has sickle cell disease, a woman has sickle cell disease. You don't say, no need for treatment. He was born like that. A man, all right, comes with some serious congenital disorders. Maybe you find out that he has what we call a congenital heart disease. Instead of having chambers separated like this, four of them, his own has holes inside, communicating abnormally. He comes to hospital, he says, madam, this your son was born like this. Go back home. Treating him is discrimination. You know, so the fact that, listen, number one, I'm not here to argue about whether homosexuals were born homosexuals or not. That's not the question. But that does not validate it. Even if you prove, you can show me the genes. I can also show you the genes that cause some hundreds of diseases. I can show you the genes. In case you don't know, the tendency to be diabetic, all right, is 90% as an old person, all right? There are two types of diabetes. The tendency to be diabetic as an older person is 90% determined by your genes. Does that mean we stop treating diabetic patients? We now say diabetes is normal. After all, we found out that 90% of the determining factor is genetic. No, what do we do rather? We say if you find out if your father was diabetic, your mother was diabetic, you find out two of your siblings are already diabetic. Obesity becomes the number one reason why you become diabetic. So as the guy is approaching the age of 40, terrible boy, slim down. So the man stops eating. He starts slimming down. He keeps himself trim because as long as he's trim, that gene will not manifest. Because if the genes manifest, it will kill him. Are you getting my point? We do not make excuses for the fact that he was born with the genes. Therefore, it has now made diabetes normal. According to Rabbi Zacharias, he calls it what? Salvation by survey. Once it is common, it is accepted as normal. Listen to me, for us Christians, it is not like that. What defines for us what is right and what is wrong is what? The word of God. What did I say? The word of God. Listen to me. Defining truth is one of the most important things you must do. That is, defining it correctly. You don't make excuses for lies. Like they do in the Western world, say, after all, homosexuals were born homosexuals. So what? Like I've already established, we've seen many more diseases than that. That when people were born like that, but because we recognize the effect it has on human life, we recognize them as what? Diseases. So that day when he was being interviewed, I was proud of Joel Osteen. He said, I don't know. You know, the Bible says it is wrong, so it must be wrong. God says it is wrong, therefore it is wrong. The foolish man interviewing him said that, who are you to judge? I said, what kind of hypocrisy and contradiction is this? You just introduced the man as a pastor. Are you getting my point? Which means he's supposed to be a custodian of truth according to the documented word of God, and he's quoting it for you. You tell him he's one to judge. I wish I was the one being interviewed that day. I would have turned the questioning on the man's life. I would have accused him as being one causing problems in the world. I said, Piers Morgan, you are the one causing problems in this world. Contradictions. You called me a pastor. If you found me yesterday, all right, with two women, all right, in my house, calling them my wives, you would have come here saying that, and he says he's a pastor. Is that not so? Listen, truth is what I'm talking about. What is truth? It is that which is in accordance with God's order. And I'm emphasizing something to you. All right, listen. I said to us here before, you've heard it. Now, what I'm emphasizing to you, okay, is that you must reach for truth. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. What am I saying? The amount of God you experience is determined by how conformed with truth your life is. Let me say it one more time. The amount of God you experience is determined by how conformed to truth your life is. That's why I want to start writing that book. Should I say yes? If you remember at the beginning, know what I did? First, I defined, I said, what is a husband? What is a wife? I call it the power of resonance. People say that I'm looking for a wife. I'm praying to God for a husband. And God says, what you call a husband is not what I call a husband. Many of the things people call husbands, God said, no, that is, the proper title for that is God. You didn't hear me? If you heard me, say amen. You know why I'm saying so? Let me say it again. I'll tell you why I'm saying so. As the person is praying, Lord, give me a husband. Give me a husband. God said, she's asking for another God. And I am God. There is none else. Therefore, I can't answer that prayer. Why? Because the young woman is thinking that this, my poverty must come to an end. Unconsciously. So when she goes to church and they say that we need to do this with this amount of money, say, the reason why I don't have money is why? I don't have a husband. Therefore, she kneels down and prays, Lord, give me a husband. Say, God says she's asking for another God. Because prosperity comes from whom? From God. He said, not from the east or the west or from the south comes exaltation. But God is judge. So as long as she's thinking like that, listen, she gets no answer. Because she's asking for another God. Her definition is wrong. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. That's why when I said that book, I said, no, you must get your definitions right. When I was talking about wife in our meals, a lot of men don't know what they call it. They don't understand what God calls a wife. What they call a wife is what God calls a concubine. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? Having read the scriptures, the only thing that fits most traditional people's mind, what they have in mind, what they call a wife, which a lot of young men are imbibing, is the only thing I see close to it in the Bible is the word concubine. You can sleep with her, amen, and it's not a sin. She bears you children, and she's yours all the days of your life. But she's your servant. She's your slave. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? She's not one with you. Therefore, it is legitimate to hide everything you are doing. And you say, woman, why are you disturbing me? The woman is woman. Are you getting my point? Why are you disturbing me? This is my business. It does not concern you. That is a concubine. So you change your prayer point from today. Say, Lord, please, I want a concubine. Pastor Bank is what I've been asking for. If you cannot say that, then please, go and redefine. Because listen, the amount of God, Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except by truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Because you must understand the application of it. What he was saying is that you don't come to the Father except truth is in your mind. You don't come to the Father. You can't experience his power except truth is what you are walking by. Therefore, you must go for truth like your life depends on it, because indeed it does. Are you getting my point? What am I trying to say? It is not acceptable to just relax and say, this is what our church says. Your church is not God. You know, Paul said something. He said, let nobody deny you of your reward. Let me summarize it. By teaching you wrong doctrines. You hear what I said? Every time you adhere to wrong doctrines, you are losing something. What did I say? Anytime you adhere to wrong doctrines, you are losing something. For example, you've heard me preach on the matter of deliverance. You understand my point? Overcoming the power of darkness and all of that, all right? Now, there are teachings that are very popular in Christianity today. Who is demon-possessed? Or the role of curses? You know, that one is the one that's reigning now. Every problem in your life is a curse. And then you target them to break those curses. Listen, if it is a lie, let us assume for a moment, I'm not discussing whether it's true or not now, the veracity of those doctrines. I just want to bring out a particular situation. Let us assume it is not true. And the problem in your life is not a curse. It is laziness. Are you getting my point? For 5 years, you are breaking the curse. You broke it today and somebody explained that, that's one of those doctrines that make me laugh. That this curse was placed upon you with the sacrifice of a cow. You need to sacrifice an elephant to break it. You haven't heard it before? That young woman laughing loud there. She has heard it before. It's very common. They will tell you that if they made a sacrifice against you, they start a curse in your life with a cow, with a goat. For you to break it, you must sacrifice a bigger goat. Since you don't know that it was a goat, the size of the goat that they used, let's just go beyond the goat to go to a cow. And in case it was a cow they buried to bury your destiny, you have to sacrifice a bigger cow. Since we don't know the size of the cow they used, let's just use an elephant. And like one man that I was present said, what I did was to use a Mercedes Benz. Listen. If you like, catch and sacrifice a dinosaur. If that is not the source of your problems remain. Please, I hope you have not understood. If you like, catch and sacrifice a hippopotamus. If that was not the source of your problems, your problem remains. I'm not teaching about that now, but for those who just want to know for the records, the sacrifice of Jesus is bigger than that of a dinosaur. Are you getting my point? It is not the size of the animal that's the problem. It is a power in the blood. Are you getting my point? And the blood of Jesus indeed washes us away, washes from all our from our life all curses and all problems. Did I hear an amen? That is a matter of fact. But this is what I want to make. So sometimes people hold on to that. Once when I preached on radio, a man said that there are people who can't live. Because, you know, people, when I preached on this deliverance matter, oh God, it was hot that time. Because I was, you know, when Paul cast out that demon of divination, you know, they had him arrested. Why? Because he had ended the source of income for the owners of that girl. The girl was a slave. So when the girl couldn't do fortune telling anymore, what happened was that the people said, this guy wants to come out food from our mouth. So they had him imprisoned. What they didn't understand was that the man cast out the demon, he couldn't return the demon. If you like, imprisoned from now to tomorrow, that demon is gone. So then when I did that, a lot of people were angry. And one man sent the text, I remember. They showed me that one. That he said that I should understand that there are people who can't live without this deliverance. And I said, although I don't reply to such things, I said, that shows you one thing, they were never delivered. I don't know what I get my point. The Bible says it clearly now, is that if the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin, there will have been no need to continue offering the sacrifices year by year. For the man to need deliverance continually, it shows that he has never been delivered. I mean, I think that's a self-evident fact. That thing does not work. It does not cure. It does not cure. For adventure, it controls. You know, I told this story once here also of a woman when in the hospital. And one patient, we were students. One patient said, he just called, is there any questions? Our big chief finished and asked him many questions. The man said, yes. I noticed that when you were talking to your students and your younger doctors, you kept on using the word control, 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 that we'll be able to achieve a good control. And then, you know, the man was teaching us, all right? Just explain to us, we, the students, and that, look, what we'll do is that we'll increase the drug, right? We'll be able to add this drug, we should be able to achieve a good control. That man was a very educated man, the patient, was a principal, a secondary school principal, a retired principal. So he understood everything. So any question, I said, why are you using the word control? Control, why not cure? Are you getting my point? And the man turned around to us again and said, you see, be very careful what you say in the presence of your patients. Some of them are very, very intelligent. And turned back to the man and said, yes, sir, you are correct. I use the word control because we can't cure your disease. The man had Parkinson's disease. If you saw Muhammad Ali the other day, I saw him with all the money available to treat Muhammad Ali. The man, he can hardly move, but he's always moving. Yes, that's Parkinson's disease. He can't initiate movement, but his hand is always trembling like this. My wife saw it. She said, what is going on? I said, that is advanced Parkinson's disease with all the money available to treat him. That was what this man also had. And our big boss then explained to him, sir, we can't cure your disease. What we are aiming for is to control it. So if a man needs deliverance every day, what does that tell you? He's not cured. You are just controlling him, but actually you are not even really controlling him. You are doing what the Bible calls healing the heart of the daughters of my people slightly by saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. What am I trying to say? When men believe such things, they are held in bondage because they will not accept the true deliverance because they have a wrong doctrine in their hearts. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, wrong doctrines deny you of your reward. The amount of truth or the amount of God you will experience is tied to the amount of agreement your life has with truth. Once a young man was working for me, and he happened to be a Christian, and he went to a very well-known church. And as he was walking, we were talking, and he said that, people ask him, how is he able to do this, his business, and he's doing well, he's making money. Listen to this, or listen to this carefully. He said, it's the power of covenant. And I've heard covenant before, and I was impressed. Oh, this guy's a good Christian. And he said that what happened was, when he was a used copper, he saved a lot of his used copper allowance, and bought a keyboard. I don't know whether you're hearing me. He bought a keyboard and gave it to a fellowship. And he said, when that keyboard plays, it sounds in heaven. It's a covenant. That when God hears the music from the keyboard, God will be pouring blessing into his life. I shook my head and I said to myself, get ready for poverty. Just for clarity, what they quote to say that thing, which is totally out of order, is that prosperity is a covenant. That you make a covenant with God that you will give and he will bless you. It's not true. God said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth, that he may establish the covenant which he swore to your fathers. What was the covenant? It was the one he cut with Abraham. In blessing will I bless you. Walk with me and be perfect and I will bless you. He didn't say it's a covenant. You offer to give me money and I'll give back to you. Arrant nonsense. Like I said, I'm not teaching on that now. But this is just the point. You see Christians walking around telling themselves they have made a covenant with God. Listen to me. Go and read your Bible well. Nobody has the power to initiate a covenant with God and his stance. He is the one. I like the woman of God said it. He said, you don't tell God, let's make a deal. He said, God tells you, here is the deal. He said, but Hannah made a covenant. Listen, Hannah finally found the right place where God was waiting for her to get to. Do you get the point I'm making? You said, Jacob made a covenant. Arrant nonsense. What happened was Jacob had inherited a blessing. Are you getting my point? And that blessing was carrying him to places. And then you must understand there are covenants that are out there all the time for you to key into. He said, for example, Jesus died for the whole world, including Osama bin Laden. If Osama bin Laden, any of those days that he was alive, has said, have mercy upon me, Jesus of Nazareth, he has stepped into the covenant of Abraham. The covenant was already there. Are you getting my point? Wait till he said, whosoever we believe, God has already made a covenant with whosoever we believe. So the young man was speaking that day and he said to me, oh, the power of covenant is what is operating. He bought a keyboard. What about when the keyboard catches fire? After all flesh is grass. The grass withers and the flower fades when there's a Nepal surge. If you have power surge, boom, and the thing smokes, what happened? All the blessings. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Correct doctrine? The one I tell you all the time, which you must never do. When you want to pray, whip out your checkbook and say, God, look at what I have given you. If you ever do that, get up, give yourself a knock. Boom on the head. Say, Lord, I repent of stupidity. Because nobody can ever give to God that he might demand back from him. Jesus said to his disciples categorically, he said, in like manner, anytime you do anything that is right, don't ever expect commendation. He said, say like this, we are unworthy servants. We have only done that which is expected of us. Is there any other thing that we should do? Therefore, I sent that mail around, that teaching, the doctrine of mercy. Christians operate how? By mercy. Every hour you sit, and you are praying in the power of your good works. Listen to me. You are wasting your time. Listen, sound doctrine is important in your life. Don't hide behind that. In our church, this is how we do it. If your church is wrong, you have just joined the bandwagon of wrong people. God has mercy. But I told you, God is long-suffering. Does not mean he's ever suffering. God, is it Paul that said it like this? In the time of darkness, God winked at some things. He overlooked some things. He said, but now light has come. And I said to you, there is information everywhere. There is no reason why you should walk in darkness or in ignorance or in wrong doctrines except for the simple reason of lack of interest and pure laziness. My wife tells me that sometimes because she sells things and she has customers. Of course, you know, when a woman marries you and she believes in you, she behaves like you. Amen? Did you hear what I said?
Sure.
All right. If your wife has not copied anything from you, tell her, say, okay, have her. You don't believe in me or what? My wife has copied a lot from me. She does not give people books also. A woman will pay her 20,000 naira because they bought a suit, they bought perfume, and stuff like that. And they'll say, dash me that book now. How much is the book? 350 naira. 500 naira. My wife will say, never, never, I will not dash you. You don't want to help me. Why should I help you? You can pay me 20,000 naira to smell nice. But I should help you to improve your life. Why didn't you ask me to help you to smell nice? She said, this is a sign that you don't value it. She was telling me that I told one woman, buy this book and read. Say, hey, you know how many books I have bought? I have not had time. The person that has not had time, look at the hair on her head. She has not had time. The person has not had time, look at the face, well made up. She has not had time. You know, I'm very busy. Once I just get home, I am tired. Are you getting my point? But you wake up in the morning, you can have a bath. You know why? It is important to you. But they think it is okay. Sometimes, you know, I tell sometimes, my wife asks me sometimes, I say, why is this thing like this? I say, people love to be deceived. I don't feel sorry these days for anybody who's been deceived. If you go to a church and your pastor says, listen, or a mercenary, you know, there are different guys, there are pastors and there are mercenaries. So the guy comes out of town to do the dirty job. So he said, listen, there are 50 people that God wants to bless today. There are 50 people. This is a blessing. You are going to become rich. Amen. You are going to become great. Amen. That husband you have been waiting for will come next month. Amen. But for you to connect with that blessing, you will give an only sacrifice. That is the thing that's most precious to you. For example, maybe they just paid you, January. They just paid you upfront, if you're a banker. They just paid you upfront. You will say, God, this is my seed. The man came to collect that money. At the end, listen, I don't feel sorry for anybody. You like it like that. If I told you to take part of that money, buy a book for 2,000 naira, read it, and at the end of the day, we'll discuss the book and pray, you will have said, I don't have time. So pay with the time you don't have, with your half of your yearly salary. It is none of my business. I have no mercy for you anymore. He said, I will be blessed. You are lying. You have been robbed. You just don't realize it. These days, preachers are going around robbing people. And I don't feel sorry for the victims because they love it. The only defense you have, the only defense is what? Truth. The man of God was in my house last weekend. He said he went somewhere. No, a man came to preach in the church. It was a scandal that day. They had supplied the man with information. This man that is there, God said, that's your land. You have a so-and-so place. You will give it to the Lord. The guy grabbed the microphone and said, the Lord has said nothing to me about it. I'm not giving it to anybody. He said, it became quarrel. You don't want to obey the word of God. He said, I will obey the word of God when I hear it. This one is not the word of God. It was open confrontation. His wife was pinching him, give it now. The guy like, what? You want somebody to just defraud me like this? Very reasonable man. After a long time, I said, okay, if that land will make you happy, take it. I'll give you guys. But I know this is just a settle quarrel. It's not for God. I'm not giving it to God. It is because you guys want it. Take it. That's an honorable man. True story. So at the end of the whole, it was a major program. It was a big man that was asking for it. So at the end of the day, the pastor of the church, I think the following day, said, everybody, please, anybody who pledged something here, I hereby release you from the pledge. That land, we are not collecting. Any car you pledge, take it back. In Jesus' name, your money, please. Your checks, we are not clearing it. It was a scandal. Listen, I have reached a point now, I don't feel sorry for anybody again. You want to be deceived? Be deceived. If you loved the word of God, you will have been protected from deception. Can God ask for something that you have? Of course he can. But when he does, you will know. Are you getting my point? You will know, and your heart will not be in doubt. You will stop asking. And listen, when you give something really, truly for God, you are not asking for, what am I going to get back? One day, one of those mercenaries came to town somewhere. And by the time he finished preaching, one big man, now let me color it. The man just bought, as an example, a brand new, let's say, BMW 7 Series. Brand new. When this man finished preaching, if you want to see the glory of God, you will do something dangerous. And danger will come out of your soul. And but he said, you want to see something dangerous, you do something dangerous. The man carried his dangerous keys to his dangerous car with the dangerous particulars. Drove. the Lord is good. A few weeks later, he asked a friend of mine. That was why I heard the story. He said, really, what does it mean to see the glory of God? And my friend picked the phone and called me. Pastor Banky, what does it mean to see the glory of God? I said, tell him to ask the man who preached it to me. Why are the two of you disturbing my soul? They didn't even give me lift in the car. Which one are you now? What is now my problem? Because weeks down the line, the man woke up from under the hypnotism. And he discovered that he had wasted his time and he had wasted his money. He had wasted his energy. He had been robbed. He had been defrauded. Start asking questions. Listen, those who truly give to God don't ask such questions. They don't. They are joyful. If they saw the car being used to be a blessing in somebody else's life, they are happy. Yeah, that used to be my car. Praise God. They are happy. They are happy. The other day, I sent a mail around and explained to those who give Kingdom World money, this is what your money does. Why I did that was just because I don't want the one in which people just think that I have sowed the seed so that God will bless me. If that's what you are doing to Kingdom World, please don't do it again. I can't refund you your money because I didn't know when you were doing it. So, and I've given your money to broadcast stations. The Lord is good. But the point is that don't do it again. I am not interested. Don't do it again. Don't sow any stupid seed into my life or into the life of this ministry. If you want to give, we accept it. If you are a criminal and you are looking for how to purge your conscience, may God worsen your conscience if you bring your money here. Are you getting my point? I did that so that those who love the Lord, are you getting my point? I said, listen, this is what we do with your money when you give it to us. We pay to broadcast over the air. We are in 3 radio stations. We are thinking about getting onto a 4th one. We are on 1 international TV station. This is what we do. So that you will know this is what I am doing. If you don't like it, then forget it. I didn't even put there that we pray for you. Though we pray for you. When I remember you, I prophesy over your head. And read my book. So we'll pay for this. Read the book. I know this is the point I'm making. So if you read that book, you see it. It's in the book. I explained it. This is how to receive from God, and this is how to be part of the prophet's reward. Are you getting my point? There is indeed a prophet's reward. There is indeed a prophet's reward. There is indeed a prophet's reward. But this is the point I'm making. I like people to understand the truth. So if in your heart you really, really like what we are doing, and then we explain, this is what we are doing. You participate in it. If I don't like what you are doing, I will not give money to you as a preacher, as a church, as a ministry. If I think you're a bunch of jokers, you won't see my 1 naira. Unless you're about to die. And I always give to dying people. Yes, if hunger wants to finish you, I'll give to you, even if you are my enemy. It's the word of God. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. I'm talking about what? Sound doctrine. Those who understand that kind of thing, if they give God 100 million naira out of 101 million that they have, it doesn't move them. The only time they will feel bad, if they finish giving the money, they don't see the people doing the work they were doing before. They will now wonder what is going on. Are you getting my point? But once that work is going on, they are satisfied there. Truth must be pleasant to your soul. You must love it. You must desire it. Because God is long-suffering does not mean he's ever suffering. You cannot continually walk in ignorance, praying in the name of your good works instead of the name of Jesus Christ, and you expect God to continue to bless you. No, he's making a demand. My son, my daughter, go for truth. Go for truth. I am the way, the truth, the truth. No one can come to the Father except he comes with truth, except he understands truth, except truth is what he comes by. You can't keep on quoting things that are out of order, and you will expect God to continue to manifest his blessing in your life. Some people have given testimonies that are testimonies of mercy. Not because of what they did. That is, God just overlooked their stupidity and blessed them all the same. Like I said, God is not a wicked person. He said, you see, because, you know, you are drowning now because you didn't pronounce my name correctly. Are you getting my point? No. If you are drowning and you shout help with all the lies you have told yourself, sometimes even if you're worshiping other gods, he will still overlook it so you don't die, so that he will give you another opportunity for repentance. Don't go therefore and say, my idols brought me out of the water. Are you getting my point? If you have been walking by doctrines that are not correct, it does not mean that God has been blessing it. I said the first sign of God's blessing is correction. Are you getting my point? Listen, your heart must go for truth. It is important so that you are not denied of your reward, so you don't waste your time, so your life is not wasted. That is the foundation of seeing the face of God. I hope you've understood what I've said today. If you understood it, say amen.